Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we will begin today with politics and what a new WBUR poll of Massachusetts towns that voted for Donald Trump says about the president's overall support and what it says about Governor Charlie Baker's political strength. The survey polled voters in some 50 central Massachusetts towns that went for Trump in the last election. And among the most surprising findings just released today, in these Republican-leaning towns, Charlie Baker is more popular among Democrats than among members of his own Republican Party. The poll is part of our series, 1 Million Red Voters in a Blue State, from WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, and he's with us now. Hi there, Anthony.
Hey, Meghna.
Okay, so I definitely want to hear more about your reporting over the past couple of weeks, but let's start with this poll. Tell us about these interesting numbers about Charlie Baker.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So we know that Governor Charlie Baker is very popular. Lots of polls over the past few years have shown that. Typically, he gets high marks from Republicans and Democrats, and that's the case in these towns that we polled, these 50 towns. 65% view him favorably, 13% unfavorably. So those are great numbers that any politician would love to have.
Yeah.
But what's surprising is, as you mentioned, that in this part of the state, he does better among Democrats than with Republicans, and better with folks who supported Hillary Clinton than who voted for Donald Trump. So it's an unusual situation that raises some interesting strategic considerations for Baker in the months ahead as he prepares for a re-election campaign.
Exactly. So what do you think explains this?
Well, on the one hand, I think this is good news for him. He's a popular guy. His strength as a candidate, it's reflected by the way he governs, which has been marked by bipartisanship. He works well with Democrats, and people like that he's seen as nonpartisan. On the other hand, he has a tricky balancing act with the Trump administration. He didn't vote for Trump, and that could cause him problems next year with Trump supporters in the state. And I've heard from a lot of them who are angry that he hasn't embraced Trump. And that could explain in part why he does better with Democrats in this part of the state than with Republicans. Mm. On the other side, when the campaign heats up, he could face more pressure from a Democratic challenger to be more forcefully critical of Trump, something that he's resisted. So maybe the poll suggests trouble with part of his base. And while he does well with Democrats now, the partisanship of a campaign, of a full-blown campaign, could cause that support to weaken. But it will be really interesting to watch.
To say the least. Wow. Okay, so let's talk about what these poll numbers then tell us about President Trump's support in these towns that voted for him. Are his supporters sticking with him?
In a word, yes, they really are, despite all kinds of problems in the early days of his administration. So here are some numbers. 80% to 90% of his voters view him positively now. More than 80% believe his policies will improve the economy, increase manufacturing jobs. 90% believe he will keep America safe. More than 80% believe he is honest and forthright. 90% believe he cares about people like them. And Meghna, this is something I heard over and over again in these towns, that people believe he is genuine and on their side. Now, keep in mind that these numbers reflect people who voted for him.
Right.
The poll also found evidence of a stark partisan divide in this part of the state. So here's Steve Cazella, president of Mass Inc., which conducted the poll.
86% of his voters still have a favorable view of him. 92% of Clinton voters have an unfavorable view of him. So there's still pretty much a perfect split between people who voted for him and people who didn't.
So a perfect split, but keep in mind, the poll found this overwhelming majority of his supporters still feel Trump will make good on his promises, and they're not discouraged.
Okay, and just as a reminder to folks, this was a poll taken in 50 central Massachusetts towns.
Yeah, this is a line of towns that pretty much stretches from the New Hampshire border right down to the Connecticut border in the middle of the state.
Yeah. So you've been reporting throughout that region for the past couple of weeks. What did you find about why this part of Massachusetts is so receptive to Trump's message?
Well, they're mostly rural communities where gun rights are important. Many of these towns, and I'll just name a few of them, Winchendon, Ware, Hardwick, Palmer. I was in Southwick yesterday. Many of these towns are former mill towns where you find a real sense of disconnection from the booming economy and the politics of Greater Boston. Mm. And in many ways, they resemble the part of the country that made that decisive difference in Trump's victory last November. These are part of the Rust Belt where manufacturing jobs have disappeared and where lots of working class people feel disconnected from the economic and political mainstream. So here's a guy that I want you to meet, who really speaks for a lot of the Trump supporters that I met in this part of the state. Jesse Algarin runs the Hometown Cafe in Winchendon. It's a former mill town, as you probably know. They used to make wood products and toys. Winchendon was once known as Toy Town, but those days are gone, and Jesse Algarin, people like him, sort of feel left behind.
Nothing changes. It just seems like the rich get richer, and the little guys like myself that open up a hometown business, we employ local people, and we just don't get anywhere. There needs to be more businesses. At one time, this town was booming. Everything seems to be moving to another country.
Do you think President Trump will be able to help that?
I truly do believe he will. Everybody that's gone into office is a politician. My theory is we haven't had a president since Reagan, and he wasn't a politician. He wasn't a lawyer. You know, since I've been around, he's about one of the best ones we ever had.
So, Meghna, yeah. In his cut, you hear a lot there. He's talking about a sense of economic loss, of dislocation, being left behind, a desire to return to the past, and faith in Donald Trump as an outsider who can do something about it. You hear that again and again.
Wow. But did you find, though, that his supporters are discouraged at all with what's happened in the early stages of the Trump administration? I mean, that stalled effort to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, all those legal challenges to Trump's immigration policy, and of course the allegations now under investigation by Congress and the FBI that Donald Trump's campaign team may have colluded with the Russians. I mean, what do his supporters say about all that?
You know, I spend a lot of time talking about these things, and it's really interesting. Some people say, yeah, kind of a problem, but hey, you know, these are growing pains. He's going to be okay. But for the most part, his supporters, they're really sticking with him. They like what he's doing. They like the way he talks. They like the way he's shaking things up. And to the extent that he's hit some bump in the roads, many of them blame the Democrats. So earlier this week, I met David Marchese in the town of Southwick. He works in farming and construction. He voted for Trump in a town that favored Trump by 20 points over Hillary Clinton. This is Southwick. And I asked him about what he makes of the challenges so far. Here's what he said.
Stop trying to just beat him down on everything he does, you know? If he has Russian salad dressing on a salad, don't say it's because of the Russians. We've been going on this for how long? 8 months now with this whole Russian theory? No Russian made me check that one dot.
Now, I love that that quote, Meghna. And in talking to Trump supporters, I'm often struck by this sort of emotional connection they seem to have with him. And this is key to understanding part of what's going on. Pundits, journalists, Democratic critics are often talking about facts, about policies, about consistency. But lots of Trump supporters are talking about a feeling that this is their guy. And I was struck by a piece this morning in the Boston Globe by Diane Hessen, who's written about Trump supporters and talks about what she calls Trump's rally culture. She says it's about loyalty and emotion, not disputed facts or momentary failure. And she writes, until Democrats tap into inspiration of their own, Trump supporters are going to keep cheering. And I think she's right.
Yeah, I mean, very strong point there. So, I mean, but speaking of that, what did you hear from Democrats in this same part of the state?
Well, I heard from a lot of different Democrats, and of course, there's a lot of pushback. But I'll let you hear from one. Ann Gobey is a state senator. She represents 28 towns in central Mass that stretch from the New Hampshire border right down to the Connecticut line. 28 towns, 25 of her towns voted for Trump. So she's taking notice of this. I asked her at one point, you know, do you feel a little politically lonely in your district? But she's taking notice. And so this is what she offered as a view of what ails her party.
Well, I think the Democratic Party, the state party specifically, has to not forget the people that live in my district. And I think it's extremely important to get back to what the Democratic Party represented, which was the working person. Mm.
So that's Ann Gobey. She says Democrats need to do a better job organizing at the local level in these towns. So that's one view from one Democrat.
Well, that's WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, this has been absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. It's been great to be back here with you.
I feel the same way, Anthony. And by the way, you can find a link to all of Anthony's reporting in the series 1 Million Red Voters in a Blue State. We've got that at WBUR.org.